Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Chris O'Shea, co-host tonight, is with me. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. Great to be here. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And we said we had a great guest this week, and we certainly do. Carol Coughlin of Bottom Line Growth Strategies is with us. She's the founder and CEO of the company, and her company basically helps small businesses to manage growth and help them to position themselves possibly for an acquisition. A few other things she'll explain more in detail. Carol.
Yeah, and it's great to have her here in studio.
In studio. That
yes.
Always gives a greater dynamic, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
It's great.
So...
It's another person.
That is true.
Things just kind of happen. The more the merrier.
Carol, the Bachelor's of Science in Business Accounting from Towson University, our alma mater. There you go. And a magna cum laude, a graduate of Loyola University with a Master's in Business Administration. She holds the CPA, which we do too. Hey, we're having a love fest here, you know. But we don't hold this one, Chris. A CEPA, Certified Exit Planning Advisor designation. Right. I guess that's for somebody who wants to turn the business over to other people or sell out to somebody. And so we're going to learn more about that. Carol, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for being here. It's really fun.
We are going to talk about growth strategies. So what is it that makes you, of all people, qualified to help business owners to help them grow and help them sell their business or exit, as you say, exit strategy? What is it about you?
Well, Drew, I had a 20-year career working with four different companies and helped turn around companies, grew them, and sold three of the four.
How big were those companies? Were they $10,000 a year revenue? Were they $50 million?
Companies as big as $350 million in revenue. So, and some where we grew them from $10 to $250 million in revenue. So we had a lot of growth. And then
so you helped grow a company from $10 million to how much?
$250
How do you million. How many decades does it take to do that?
Well, that one was about 9 years.
9 years, a company went from $10 million to $250 million?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
And then you sold it, or they sold it, or whoever?
Yes, we did.
To a big monster company?
A big monster company, yes.
Okay, so how many of those did you participate in?
Three? Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so two of the three were public, and the other one was a big mutual insurance company.
A big mutual insurance company.
Yes.
So how long was that mutual insurance company in business?
A long time.
Oh, okay. So what were you going to say, Chris?
No, I was just going to say, so you saw there are things that are common, the dynamics between even different size companies or different business types. There still are some dynamics that are the same.
Correct.
So one of the things that's interesting is, you know, a company, you know, some people out there are thinking, well, you know, gosh, if my company grew from $10 million to $250 million, I could sell that overnight, too. It's not that easy, is it?
It's not.
Even if you have the revenue growth, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a good company, does it?
Absolutely. Great point. There's a thing I call good growth and bad growth.
I don't want any of the bad growth.
And that is, you know, it's adding to your bottom line. Those are good profits. You have good, you know, not all concentration in one big contract. So it's managed. Good growth is managed.
Because a lot of people can bankrupt themselves with growth.
Correct.
Can't they?
Definitely.
And most people don't understand it. Most business owners think if I get the revenue coming in, then that's all that really matters. There's no truth to that.
Absolutely not.
So how does somebody bankrupt themselves who's growing their revenues like crazy?
Well, first of all, they don't really know what their cost structure is typically. They've often underinvested in finance and operations because they didn't see the value of it. So they didn't have the efficiencies and scale. And they may not have priced things correctly because they didn't know how much it cost. So we see all of those kinds of things in companies that grow, really out of control.
So, in other words, somebody's going on and there's a big contract, maybe it's $10 million, and they're bidding on that contract, and they're, you know, they might have bid $10 million, but actually, in the end, it might have actually cost them $11 million, but they didn't know it because they're not really keeping track of the costs well, and they're on to the next project, and so the cash flow keeps coming in. And as long, it's like a Ponzi scheme almost, isn't it?
It is. It can be. Absolutely. In fact, we had a company a couple of years ago that we walked into. The owner thought they had cash flow issues. And we went in there and looked at it, and they were totally upside down because they didn't
What do you mean by upside down?
More liabilities, more things owed that than they
so
had.
So they didn't necessarily have credit cards and things like that, but they had accounts payable and things of that sort when you say things owed?
Yes, definitely.
So they were things owed that weren't like bank debt and bonds and so forth. They were just money owed to lots of different people that they were doing business with.
Correct.
And so they didn't realize it.
And some, they didn't, because some of those expenses weren't even recorded on their books.
How do you not record them on your books? Was there somebody in the back?
This is a $50 million company that relied on their bookkeeper.
And usually the bookkeeper is somebody who's never done bookkeeping. That's what I tend to find. Is that true?
We find a lot of that. We find some good bookkeepers out there, but we find a lot of accounts payable clerks that were then called bookkeepers.
Well, like take doctor's office, for example. I've seen doctor's office, which are $3-5 million a year, and it just happens to be the woman or the person in the company that just happened to be there at the time that they needed somebody to just happen to watch over the money coming in and going out.
Right. Yep.
and they're like struggling to figure out, well, what am I supposed to do next? And now they get this QuickBooks thing they're supposed to work with, and they have no clue how it really works. How often do you find that?
A lot. Because the companies that we're working with are having some kind of, they're growing, but there's some call to action. You know, they can't get financial statements or their cash flow is less than what it should be, and they're struggling a little bit with that. So we go in because things aren't optimal typically. They're good companies, but they need to be better.
So when you come in, what type of specialist do you bring with you?
I typically will do a lot of the, I have an assessment process where I really dig in and look at how the company's been doing over 3 years, what are some of the trends, comparing them to industry, so I have some benchmarks. So it's usually myself or one of my two CFOs who have a lot of experience really sizing up situations like that. We look at it, we look at the gaps from where they should be, we develop a plan, we compare them to industry so they know that where they should be. So essentially, when we're done with that process, we've got a path toward getting things in the right situation for that owner.
Well, Carol, we have a lot of small business owners that listen to this radio show because I know because I talk to them a lot. And so we have to take a break that we're not even allowed to call a break. We're not allowed to call this a break because people
you just
will,
did.
Well, I know, but if you call it a break, then people will turn off your radio station, go somewhere else. And listen, so I'm not supposed to call it a break.
Okay.
I'm just going to go to the traffic, and then we're going to come back and talk more about growth strategies with Carol Coughlin. And right now, Chris, we'll take it away to traffic. Is there traffic or is there not? Okay, take it away, traffic.
Hi, this is Tim Mallon, co-host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. Drew and I hope that the topics we discuss on our show help lessen the worry and burden of money management in your life. We know managing your money can be very stressful, and it is impossible to cover every dimension of financial planning during our short time with you on the air each week. If you would like personal assistance, we welcome the opportunity to meet with you in our office in Hunt Valley. To schedule a personal, complimentary consultation, please call us at 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-7283.
Anyway, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're here with Carol Coughlin of Bottom-Up Growth Strategies. And you help companies, you come in as a CFO for hire, right?
Right.
Chief Financial Officer.
Yep.
And so tell people who are out there looking for somebody to help them grow their company in good growth, right? We call that good growth. They don't like that bad growth stuff, you know, or want to position their company for sale, and they want to know what is it will make my company the most valuable and the most in demand by a buyer. So how do they get in touch with you? So what's your website? What's your
website
phone number?
Website is www.bottomline-growth.com.
Now back to more.
And our number is 443-798-1357.
Now, whenever you give a phone number on the radio, you always say it a second time and you say it slow.
Okay. 443-798-1357.
So, okay. So we've got a company who's growing, and they're thinking, I want to position my company for sale. So what is the things that you would be talking to them about?
We would be talking to them about, number one, having a strong financial foundation in place. So they have financial processes where they get good financial statements and accrual base, so they know
they can't deduct the kitchen sink anymore.
Right. They got to stop deducting the kitchen sink and other things that might be personal. And I've seen, been at the, kind of close to a table where there is a business owner with a lot of personal expenses and trying to explain to a potential buyer, oh, those are all personal. Well, at that point, it's kind of too late. So really running it like a business. Getting good financials. So that's one thing, having that good foundation, having a financial story. So good revenue growth, so increases in revenue over time, increases in bottom line. That's a good financial story. Having a good succession, a team below the CEO. So it can't be all about the CEO, because if something happens to the CEO, then you really don't have much of a company, a value of a company. So we want to make sure that there's a good team in place below that. So, and then in terms of product, diversity of products, diversity of customer base. You don't want to have one customer that's 80% of your revenue. Good contracts to support your revenue, recurring revenue. Those are some of the things that we would work with companies to get in place.
Now, do you work with companies that are making revenue of $1 million or $10 million or $50 million, or does it matter?
We typically work with clients in the range of 3 to about $50 million, but we have some under and some over. So under that, we would take on a client that's $1 million in revenue that is looking like they're going to do a lot of growth. So to help them at the early stage, which is better than coming in $10 million when they've had a lot of cash flow issues and things like that. It's better to get it done earlier stage. And sometimes we come in at a $50 million, $100 million range where they have an underperforming CFO. And we can help them look at their team, their CFO function, what do they need, and help them navigate that change.
Now, are you helping these companies go public? You know, in other words, to become a publicly traded stock, or are you helping these companies just be acquired by a bigger regional company of some sort?
Most of the companies that we're working with are not going public. They're smaller than that, actually, because if they're getting ready to go public, they'll transition into having a full-time CFO.
Okay.
So we can also help a company go through that transition, help them select a full-time CFO.
So then the big question, of course, you knew I was going to ask you this sooner or later. So business out there, they have their CPA firm, and the CPAs are doing all these things for them. Why do they need to talk to you?
Well, Drew, you know, that's a great question, and that comes up an awful lot. And CPAs and CPA firms, every business needs a CPA firm. And CPAs are one of the most trusted advisors for a business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they need actually both of us. What we do different than a CPA firm will do is we'll provide that experience from the inside. We've all in our organization, at Bottom Line, we've all been what I call hot seat CFOs. We've actually had to figure out how to integrate systems, how to make an acquisition, how to grow, how to work with a team, how to manage projects, IT, HR, all different functions. We've done that stuff inside. So that is our perspective. How do we work with this business owner to help them grow their business profitably? And so we handshake with the CPA firm. They provide the tax strategies, the tax planning, and we help implement those strategies.
So you're making a good point, you know, so if you're going from a $10 million to a $40 million company over 2-3 years, let's say, you definitely need a lot of technology in place, and your guys are the ones that are actually helping to go from this level to that level in the technology.
Well, we're going to help that CEO figure out what kind of technology, you know, what kind
right.
of software system, and then help select the vendor to help implement
it. And
that.
What type of people?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, because those are typically the things also, the right personnel. You make a few bad personnel moves, and you've really sidelined yourself for a long period.
Well, not only that, but you bring new technology in, and you don't train your personnel right. It's a disaster.
Right.
It's a real disaster. You ever seen that happen?
Absolutely. Actually, I was at a company that installed a program. And this was a big company. It was a couple $100 million company. At the same time that another company was installing it. And they shoved the installation, and it was a big company. It was like $300 million company. They shoved the installation down quickly. They wanted to get it done in 3 months, which was ridiculous for a $300 million company. We kind of said, wait a minute, time out. What do we want to get out of the system? How are we going to grow? And so we really took some time to think through it. At the end of it, we took 6 months. But then my next job was turning around that company that shoved that conversion down in 3 months.
Wow.
I had to move to Chicago to do a turnaround of that company because it was an insurance company. They were paying claims like 2 and 3 times and things like that because they set it up incorrectly.
Anyway. So we've got Carol Coughlin here. She's the CEO, founder of Bottom Line Growth Strategies. You're helping companies to grow, good growth, and also to position them for sale. Those are your two big things that you really work with. Am I saying that right, or are you just coming in and eating bonbons and watching Oprah? That's what we like to say. Anyway, now, are those the two big things that you do with companies?
That, and I think a couple others. One would be working on what I call the soft side of finance.
The soft
working
side.
Working on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Working right. on, do they have, if they're growing and they need somebody full-time, do they need a controller
right.
or a director of finance
sure.
or a CFO?
Yeah, sure,
so. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of nuances of a specific company, and, you know, a bad hire at that size of a, you know, company.
So you're helping them actually hire these key individuals to these positions. Is that true?
We're helping them make the selection. We're saying, okay, based on your company, you need a director of finance, and here's what that job description looks like. And then we're working with a recruiting firm, for example, who does the recruiting. We're doing some additional interviewing and some personality, you know, profiling, et cetera.
Because those people aren't easy to find.
They're
you know, people hear about all these big salaries that corporate, you know, S&P 500 corporate CEOs make, but a real CEO is a unique individual, and it's like a professional sports athlete. That CEO, there's only a unique type of people that can do that type of job.
Right. Well, we're helping fill the CFO role.
Well, I understand.
Sure.
And, yeah,
sure.
and
they
only
have
to
match. The personalities have to match in addition to the technical side of
And the
their
CFO,
background.
Though, is a unique type person. There's only a handful of people in the country that can fill those types of roles, too. So, you know, that's an invaluable job that you're providing there. You're kind of like a scout for a sports team.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, Carol, we've got to take a timeout. We're not going to call it a break. We've got to take a timeout. We're going to go to traffic and find out what's going on out there. Chris, why don't you take it away to traffic? We'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. I believe what you want from your financial advisor is objective advice, assistance with any facet of personal financial advice quickly and to your benefit. This comprehensive assistance would help to lessen your worry and burden about your financial future. I have adopted the model of the medical profession to accomplish this goal. Educated and experienced professionals working in a team for you to accomplish your goals is the fulfillment of my dream in the Financial Consulate. No matter what your financial status, our firm has a team to work with you. If my dream is your dream of what you want from your financial advisor, then give us a call at 410-823-7283 for a no-obligation introductory meeting. We will explain more about our guaranteed financial physical. Call 410-823-SAVE or on the web, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're here with Carol Coughlin. We're talking about bottom line growth strategies. And Carol is a for-hire CFO. Her and her team come in and help companies grow. Good growth. We learned that earlier. Good growth. And also how to position your company for sale. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Carol, and I see this so often in a company, is, and we talked about this sort of earlier, you get that bookkeeper. And the bookkeeper is somebody that's really not much of a bookkeeper. They're just a person that happened to, you know, say that they had taken accounting classes back in college or something of that sort. But they're a really great person. They like them. They may even be a good friend of theirs. And then 3-4 years later, they all of a sudden get the founder of the company, the owner of the company, gets absolutely devastated to find out that my bookkeeper, my comptroller, my whatever, has been pilfering money from the company, embezzling money, whatever you want to call it. What word do you want to call it?
Embezzlement.
Embezzlement. That's a very good word. Embezzling money from the company. I can't tell you how many times I have heard that happen inside a small business.
Absolutely right. And it happens more than people know.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of times what's really crazy is the owner will forgive them and let them continue to operate with the promise they won't do it again, and then they do it again. And then they're really devastated because they'd already not pressed charges once before. How many times do you find that to happen?
I was saying I had worked at 4 companies full-time as CFO. In 2 of those companies, there was an embezzlement.
2 of the companies?
2 of the 4, 50%.
Did they fire the people immediately?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, one, I followed that person. So I was the next person on that, replacing an embezzler who was a friend of the CEO, and they sort of had an agreement that he wasn't going to file charges, and the bookkeeper went on, and hopefully not to steal from another company.
But it's so easy. It is so easy to get tempted into that, isn't it? I mean, you might not have ever done it, but I can imagine that somebody could see all this money flowing through and think, you know, I need whatever, $1,000 for a week, you know, and I'll give it back. So he takes the $1,000, and next thing you know, nothing ever happens. And the time comes up, and they decide, well, you know, I'll get it back later. You know, and so it's really kind of like a vicious circle or like an evil web that you start weaving and rationalizing in your mind what you're doing.
Right. And it's the trust and without any kind of verification. So what happens is the owner is you know, giving the opportunity, because they don't have any checks and balances in place, and they're not looking at anything. They're totally trusting that person to sign checks, to have access to the bank account, and also to reconcile the bank account. So they're setting it up, and that bookkeeper either thinks they deserve the extra money, or they run into some tough situations themselves, and you know, they might borrow that $20, and over time, you know, it turns into something more than that.
So what are the things that you do or recommend to a business to make sure, absolutely make sure, that this will not happen? I mean, you know, you can't do everything 100%, but it sure will lock it in at that 99.999%. What is it?
Right. Well, first of all, separating certain responsibilities. And that's a little tough for small companies because they may not have that many employees. But particularly the deposits coming in the door, having somebody else other than the bookkeeper who's recording it, who's also looking at the bank statement, have somebody else logging those checks and maybe making those deposits. So you have 2 different people doing that. So the person who's managing the accounts receivable is not also collecting checks.
No, wait a minute, though. You know, most people would say, well, wait a minute. If a check's coming in for John Doe Corporation, how can Bill Frank deposit John Doe Corporation checks? Because my bank rejects checks on me that don't come into my name.
It happens. I've seen it happen. In fact, I saw somebody steal $80,000 from a company by taking checks that were made payable to that company and sending it off-site to another state into their own bank account.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that bank out there was cashing them for
it. It was cashing them, yes.
Oh, that's cool. Now, is that bank out there in that other state responsible for those cash checks?
I believe they had some responsibility.
Huh.
And in that case, it was what they call mail fraud because it was outside of the state line. It was a pretty big...
Right.
We actually busted a Nigerian theft ring. But the other thing that can be done is the owner has the bank statement come to his or her home. That way, there's an independent look at it. Checks that are sent out for expenses aren't signed by the bookkeeper. So there are some things that can put... And I also like having a lockbox for companies that have a lot of checks. Having a lockbox at the bank where the checks are just going to the bank. They're not even coming into the
So you can actually have somebody else receive your deposits, a corporation like... You know, one of the big local banks around town, you coordinate with them, and the money is sent to John Doe Corporation at this address at this big money center bank or whatever, and they collect them all, and once every week or whatever, they're depositing them?
Every day.
Every day.
Sometimes twice a day.
So you don't even...
So it's better cash flow, too.
So what kind of company would want to do something like that, and what do they charge to do that?
It's not a lot. I can't, you know, it depends on how many checks are coming in, et cetera. But, it, you know, the company that I was working with was like a $10 million company, and they had probably a couple hundred checks a week coming in. So there's a big volume. And, you know, it wasn't a substantial amount of money. It was certainly what I considered an insurance policy against an embezzlement.
Well, that actually sounds like a great idea. If you've got a lot of checks coming into your company, well, why not have a bank do it? You outsource it. You don't have to have people worrying about it. I know what a hassle it is to get it into our system. How do they merge that deposit into your QuickBooks? Do they send a record to your... Or do they send what? Do they have an electronic download into your for deposits?
What we do is we view it online through the bank.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are some really cool things that you can do. You know, like in my company, I have two other people that help with the overall finances of my company. And I know one of them, at least one of them listens. And he'll text me in a second or two. I should put this on. But he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, as much as I love him and trust him explicitly, he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that I look through everything on at least a weekly basis, and I'm constantly asking him, what about this?
A wise man once said, trust but verify.
Right.
Truly.
A very wise man.
Now, you are a CPA, right?
I understand.
So, of course, you have the background to do it. A lot of our clients have a sales background or a technical background. But that being said, they could still get the bank statements at home and ask questions. So that the bookkeeper knows if someone else is looking.
Some fundamental things is if that payroll company up in Bel Air that is under investigation for not paying people's payroll taxes.
Right.
It was a big thing that happened last year. I mean, there is potentially, I think the number was up to 600 clients, and they're sorting all that out. And so they had the reports coming directly to them rather than the company. So something very, they could have caught it very easily. One of the things they could have done by not changing where the reports were going. And so, again, there's some fundamental things that you need to really pay attention to.
Well, that's a great topic, but we're going to have to hold on that. We're going to come back with Carol Coughlin, and we're going to talk the last 15 minutes about growth strategies in your business and managing your business as a business owner. But right now, we've got to go to weather, right, Chris? Chris is shaking his head, yes. So why don't we go to weather, and we'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Carol Coughlin, and we're talking about bottom-line growth strategies. So, Carol, we talked about good growth and bad growth. And so part of that has to do with cash flow. And so as Warren Buffett said, when the tide goes out, we know who's swimming naked. So... You know, and that's what happens in a business. A business feels like they're doing fantastic. and all of a sudden the growth stops or slows down. It just slows down. Instead of growing at 25% revenue, they slow down to just 10 or 12% revenue growth, and all of a sudden something happens. What's happening here? What's the problems?
Well, a couple of things. One example is a company that might get deposits. So some companies get deposits for work they're doing before they do the work. And if they're growing a lot, they're getting a lot of deposits.
Ah.
And if they're not sure, if they don't have good records and they're not really knowing what their cost structures are, they could easily be spending their children's inheritance, if you will, by spending those deposits.
So what kind of companies would get money before they actually do something?
Sometimes construction companies that get a down payment or some kind of a retainer.
Insurance companies.
Other companies that, make some kind of installations, for example.
A lot of companies also will make guarantees on things. And so you have to be prepared for the guarantees that you've made too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. So, and all those things could cause problems.
Definitely.
So cash flow is probably one of the biggest issues. And your cash flow seems good when revenues are rising.
Right.
But when all of a sudden the tide goes out, all of a sudden you realize my cash flows aren't as good as I think they are.
Well, they're good when the company is getting deposits, but you could have a very profitable company that is growing, but they need to pay their employees and they need to make other payments before they receive collect the payments from their customers. So that can also happen where the cash flow isn't so good, the profitability is good. So it's to understand the profitability structure. But certainly, there are companies out there that don't have a good handle on it, and they're out there naked when the tide goes out, if you will.
So how do people get in touch with you again? Because, the service that you provide is invaluable. You work with how many companies right now around town or around? Do you work with companies in other areas?
We have a couple companies we worked with in New York, but most of our companies are in the Baltimore, Washington area.
So how many companies are you working with right now?
We're working about 30 companies right now.
30 companies?
Yes.
How many people are on your staff?
10.
10?
Yes.
How many are CPAs?
5.
5.
50%.
What other types of credentials? If somebody wanted to, get into this industry of helping people grow companies, what are the credentials that your firm looks for?
To bring somebody on our team? Somebody who's sat in the hot seat. So we look for technical experience growing companies or turning around. They've had significant good outcomes with the companies they've worked with. They also have culture. There's a good cultural fit. So we look for people who actually give back to the community because we think if they do that in their spare time, that they're going to be a more giving and more of a servant leader, if you will, when we're working with clients.
Now, we haven't done that for a few minutes now. What is your website? How do people find more information about you?
Our website is www.bottomline-growth.com.
Okay. And your phone number?
443-798-1357.
So let's say you've got a company that's doing, let's say, $70 or $80 million a year in business, but they're really not growing much anymore. Their business is kind of stale. Would that company be one that you would work with also?
It certainly could be a company that we work with.
What would you do with a company like that? Because, company's growing, company's revenue's growing. Even if it's bad growth, there's lots for you to do. But if a company's stagnant, it seems like that's a lot more difficult to work with.
It could be a bit. One opportunity would be to see what their cost structure is and compare them to the industry to see if there might be some opportunities to save money on expenses.
So you find that, I bet you do find this a lot, is that business owners are reluctant to let people go and they'll hurt themselves far more than they'll hurt their employees.
That happens
and
a
yet,
lot
yet
more
the
than
world
think.
Thinks it's the other way around.
Absolutely.
In other words, everybody out there thinks the business owner only cares about himself. He rakes us over to coal. He beats us. He gets everything out of him he can. But actually, I find it the other way around. Most business owners will totally hurt themselves before they'll hurt that employee.
Absolutely. I see that a lot.
And so, you know, you actually have to coach them on why it's in their best interest and your best interest to help this person move on and help your company move on, because you could hurt everyone for the sake of trying to keep two or three. You might hurt 30 or 40 other people.
Right, and to have strategies so they can take more money out of the company.
Take more money out of the company.
To pay themselves a salary.
To pay themselves a salary. Well,
exactly.
You're saying that there are a lot of business owners who are doing this, taking on the risk. They're actually paying employees and not taking any income for themselves. You're seeing that.
I am seeing that. I have seen that.
In a company where they're, you know, it's like a $50,000 a year business, or, you know, I can't imagine that somebody's making $10 million in gross revenues would not be making any money for themselves.
I see more of that in the, you know, $1 to $3 million companies, earlier stage companies.
And so, you know, how do you determine when you have to let somebody go? How do you make that decision?
Well, there's a lot of factors we look at. Is the skill set right, first of all? Because sometimes there's not a fit there. Is the revenue going to support, over a long run, that person? And so there are a lot of factors we look at, you know, when we look at projecting what the next year will look like and, you know, what kinds of staffing they actually need to run that company.
Well, we're out of time, believe it or not. As usual, the show always runs faster than you could ever imagine. So we're at the end, and this is Carol Coughlin with Bottom Line Growth Strategies. And your website is
bottomline-growth.com.
Bottomline-growth.com. And your phone number?
443-798-1357.
Carol, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. This is Drew
Great
Tignanelli.
Thank you.
Saying God bless.
Bye.